make no mistake, of all leading cigarettes, one and only one is recognized by eminent nose and throat specialists as definitely less irritating. That one cigarette is Philip Morris. Johnny presents The Milton Berle Show. Here comes Johnny, ladies and gentlemen, to remind you. If every smoker knew what Philip Morris smokers know, they'd all change to Philip Morris. Yes, they'd all. City in New York, here is the Milton Berle Show with Kurt Kelton, Jack Albertson, Al Kelly, Billy Sands, Charlie Irving, Johnny Gibson, our singing star Dick Farney, Ray Block and his orchestra, and yours truly, Frank Keller. Ladies and gentlemen, tonight we salute the department stores of America, who this week will reach a new high in sales. We now bring you Milton Berle, who every week reaches a new low in comedy. And here he is, Milton Berle.
Thank you and good evening. Did you listen to that applause, Mr. Gallup? In a little while, you'll wish you could take it back, you know. But, Mr. Gallup, I'm really delighted that we're paying tribute tonight to the department stores. What crowds. I was in a department store today. It was so crowded, a lady ordered a girdle. A woman next to her tried it on. The woman alongside of her said, ouch. The sales girl paid for it, and I wore it home. But Mr. Gallup, thank you. Really, we want to thank the department stores because I do.
Personally, because today, my brother Frank is riding high.
Your brother Frank?
Yeah.
You mean the one who, ever since he's been old enough to work, hasn't?
Don't laugh, Mr. Gallup. Today, my brother Frank's got a job at Macy's.
Macy's?
Yes. Oh, what a job. He just walks through Macy's looking at the merchandise and holding his nose.
He walks through Macy's holding his nose, yeah. And someone pays him for this?
Yeah. Gimbals. You know, Mr. Gallup, department stores, they do something to me. They take me back when I was just a little boy, and every single Christmas, my mother would take me to a department store to see Santa Claus.
Yeah.
She'd point at Santa Claus and then say to me, are you going to learn how to tell jokes if you want to wind up doing that?
Berle, I haven't heard anything as sweet and tender since they broke up Murder Incorporated.
It is touching, isn't it? Mr. Gallup, may I ask, if I'm not too inquisitive, what are your plans for Christmas?
Oh, I'll probably spend it at my club, the White Plains Piccolo and Pizzicato Society.
Mr. Gallup, why kill the holidays with those long-haired creeps?
Long-haired creeps?
Yeah.
Girl, around White Plains, they'd pull your tongue out for that.
My tongue?
Yes, and there's enough of it for the entire club to grab onto.
You had trouble with yours on that line, you know that.
I wanted to be first.
Will you wake up that lady sitting over there? I don't mind them sleeping when I'm on, but last week there was a woman down here cleaning a chicken. But I mean, Mr. Gallup, I didn't want you to insult me. I was just trying to be nice. All I meant was at your club, the White Plains Pizzicato and Piccolo Club. I mean, isn't it pretty dull at your club?
Dull with Beams Taylor there? Not likely.
I forgot about Beams Taylor, the rich man's Henny Youngman. Yes. Is Beams funny?
Funny?
Yes.
Oh, he has a new joke. Yes. He asks you to smell a flower in his buttonhole.
Yes.
Oh, and when you bend over to smell it...
You get squirted in the eye.
Berle, don't tell me you've stolen it already. Don't go away.
I won't go away. That's my line, you know. There's a switch. Somebody's stealing from me. Oh, brother, I like to go to see that White Plains Pizzicato Poco. What a lively bunch you must have there, Mr. Gallup. Some night your club is going to get raided by pallbearers. But before we all get carried away, let us go on with the program as we salute department stores. The department store, mammoth temple of trade, lifeblood of Matt Merch Meach. Don't go away. Department stores. After all, this is a repeat broadcast for the Coast. The department store, mammoth temple of trade, lifeblood of merchandising. The department store, sign of civilization, where all day you hear... That's the sign of civilization, all right? Bongo, bongo, bongo. That joke was strictly from Hungo, Hungo, Hungo. I should have quit when I was ahead. Department stores.
Ladies and gentlemen, with only 7 shopping days left till Christmas, it is important that we shop quickly and courteously to give everyone a chance at the counters. To show you how not to shop, here is Mildred Burl in a department store.
Wait on me, please. I must get home. I left a babysitter at home watching my husband.
Yes, madam.
Look, I'm simply going, stop raving mad. Mad, mad, mad. I want to get my husband something for Christmas. How do you wrap up a saloon? Oh, wait till I tell that to the girls at the YW.
Madam, may I suggest...
What can I get the old fool? Oh, I know. Pajamas.
Pajamas.
No. No, he just likes to sleep in a sweatshirt and knickers. Now, let me see. I have it. A nightgown.
A nightgown. Yeah.
No. Not with those hairy legs. Now, leave me think.
Now, look, lady, there are people waiting.
Oh, let him wait. They're all the same, those 2 hags who followed me over here from Klein's. Now, what can I get my husband? He has a flexible flyer, a Ouija board, and a mustache cup.
Madam, if you'll just give me his size.
Oh, his size. Let me get a picture of him in my mind. Ooh! Gruesome, isn't it? Now, what can I get the old goat? I know. A pair of socks.
Socks.
No. I just remembered he has a pair. Let me think. Jingle bells, jingle
Madam,
bells.
Madam, they're closing the store.
Well, just don't stand there. Can't you suggest something for me?
Yes. Paste this over your mouth.
What is it?
A label. Do not open until Christmas.
Oh, you beast, you. I'll kill you. That's what I'll do. I'll kill you. Mr. Gallup. You're still in that with me. Did you like my imitation of a woman?
Yes. Now imitate a man.
Gee, Mr. Gallup. Sometimes your tongue is so sharp you can't tell it from your nose. But on with our salute to department stores. Tonight we are very honored to have with us a famous department store executive who will give you many, many valuable hints for your last-minute Christmas shopping. I want you to meet Mr. Marshall Finster. Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Finster.
Thank you, thank you.
And Mr. Finster, I have some questions on shopping sent in by our listeners. Would you please answer them?
Mr. Burl, I am only too snide to call your face of all the size of Tillman because I know you are waiting for my drawer without the bag. But aren't we all?
How true. Here's the first question. A mother in Des Moines asks, what storybooks would you recommend for an 8-year-old boy?
A boy of that age would love books such as The 5 Little Schmalmans and How They Grew, Snow White and the 7 Flibberknit Climbs, Tom Swift and His Electric Gotkiss. But the newest book is the story of Little Benzie Boy and the good Queen Nachayelius. It is the story of a little boy who is lost in the woods. The clouds are running about the sea because he sees a pyramid. He looks through the bushes and he's scared by a fly. Suddenly there's a brace of snipers. He's lost for 3. It'll scare the pants off him.
Well, Mr. Finster, could you give us the famous pep talk that you give your clerks just before you open the doors for the Christmas rush?
Of course.
Would you?
I say, clerks, this is it. I want you to go into them pendulums with all your time. Keep a stiff upper gribbin' flag. And if you all come through alive this Saturday, don't be surprised if you open your pay envelope and find a big snack. Maybe two. Remember the slogan of our great store. Honesty is the pride of all our fame, and may the thrift fall for the cliche
guys. Thank you, Mr. Fincher.
Thank you.
Yes, Mr. Gallup, this is the season when every department store is a veritable winter wonderland. Ah, remember when you went shopping with that one and only girl as you sang?
Sleigh bells ring, are you listening? In the lane, snow is glistening. The beautiful sight, we're so happy tonight, walking in our winter wonderland.
Ah, Cynthia. Precious memories of Cynthia. I remember the first time I saw you, Cynthia, in that department store. We met in the toy department. I opened the top of a box and your face popped out. Ah, that face, Cynthia. Your face was like the UN. Everything was there, but it just couldn't get together. Remember? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Remember how that department store wanted you to be Santa Claus? They wanted you to wear that white beard, but you refused? It would have meant shaving off your own. I don't blame you. You were proud of your nickname, Honest Abe. Cynthia, you were Santa's little helper. Ah, what a beautiful sight. Santa Claus riding through the skies with his reindeer, and you riding right behind him on your broom. Poor beaten Cynthia. Remember when you got trampled in that mad Christmas rush? What a shock when I scraped you off the floor. I looked behind your right ear, and what did I find? Your left one. So until they pry your ears apart and put your head back in between them, I'll go on alone to face unafraid the plans that are made, walking in the winter wonderland.
From New York to California, from Louisiana to Oregon, from city after city all over the country, eminent nose and throat specialists make this report. Listen.
We are convinced Philip Morris is definitely less irritating than any other leading cigarette. That's why in cases of irritation due to smoking, we suggest change to Philip Morris.
Yes, that's professional advice and good advice to every man or woman who smokes. Change to Philip Morris. Because the cigarette that gives you the least irritation is the cigarette that gives you the most enjoyment. After all, it's pleasure, deep, rich pleasure that counts in smoking. And the full measure of smoking pleasure is yours to enjoy day in, day out in Philip Morris. That's why we say if every smoker knew what Philip Morris smokers know, they'd all change to Philip Morris, America's finest cigarette.
Santa Claus is coming to town. That's what it was supposed to be. Took a shortcut. That was played by Ray Block and the Philip Morris Orchestra. And Ray, may I say that each week your musical number gets shorter and shorter. It shrinks. But at least it shrinks out loud. And now, as we continue our salute to department stores, we present...
Department Store Forum tonight. Department Store Forum tonight. The question... Will Christmas shopping in Macy's ever take the place of roundup time in Texas?
Thank you, Mr. Gallup. Now, let's hurry on to questions from our intelligent-looking audience. Let's start with this young man in the third row wearing the rhinestone dog collar. Young man, what is your name?
My name is Frank Gallup.
Frank Gallup?
I'm not the one who's the announcer on your program.
I know.
I'm the one that's alive.
Well, you had me fooled.
I only took the name Frank Gallup because I look like him.
You look like him 30 years ago.
As soon as I start looking like somebody, I take his name.
I see. What was your name before?
Thunderhead.
All right, Flicker. You have a question concerning department stores?
No, I ain't got a question, and don't ask me again.
Yeah, but we're having...
Leave me alone, will you? I don't like the subject tonight.
All right.
Who wants to talk about department stores? What, am I Gimple or somebody?
Now, look, if you...
There's a million things to talk about. This still fixed department store.
Now, wait a minute.
Why don't you try to make people laugh instead of trying to put them to sleep?
Now, listen.
Why don't you get a right and write jokes in that death notice?
Now, look.
Why don't you go back to what you can do best, clean a chicken?
Please.
Shut up, you big fat man.
Oh, please. Shut up. We must not have any noisy demonstrations. Wakes up the band. Let us hear now from the women. All right, this lady in the aisle hanging out a wash. He has wash, too, this boy. You, what is your name, madam?
Tallulah Feeney. I'm a homemaker.
I see, and you have a question that has to do with department stores?
Yeah, my husband keeps taking them part-time jobs. He's getting to be a full-time Jake.
Your husband works in a department store?
Yeah, they put him in women's underwear.
Women's underwear? How did he do?
Not bad. Two sailors followed him home.
No kidding.
For a while, they made him a window trimmer. They told him to get a dummy in the window.
A dummy?
Yeah, he stood in the window for 3 days before they told him they didn't mean him.
They mistook your husband for a dummy?
Yeah, but he let out a yell when they tried to unscrew his leg.
Why, that's terrible.
They put him in the candy department. At closing time, he could clean up his candy counter in 10 seconds. It was amazing.
What's amazing about cleaning up a candy counter in 10 seconds?
With his tongue?
Oh, oh.
A bubble tongue?
No. No, I don't.
Him and that candy. He always used to come home from work sticky all over.
Sticky?
It was like sleeping next to a roll of flypaper.
Gee, that's awful.
They even had him working with Santa Claus, but it confused the kids.
It confused them?
Yeah, they wanted to know what that jackass was doing standing with a reindeer.
Thank you, Mrs. Peters. Thanks. And now, as a fitting climax to our form, we bring you one of the unsung heroes of the Christmas shopping season. He is that famous store detective, ever vigilant, ever courageous, that brawny, burly, two-fisted mountain of manhood, Big Mike Feckerfield, me Fidophile. Ladies and gentlemen, Mike Fidophile.
Thank you, Mr. Barrow. May I express my deepest gratitude for this glorious opportunity to say hello to the many people I have served downtown, across town, and up the river.
Now tell us, Mr. Featherfield.
Excuse me, Mr. Burrell. Do you mind if I sit down? I'm pooped.
You tired?
On the way over here, I picked up a cookie. I think I strained myself.
But a cookie isn't heavy.
This one had a raisin on it.
Oh. Mr. Featherfield, how did you ever get into detective work?
Well, my father is a policeman. My brothers, my uncle, and my grandfather are all cops.
They are?
Yeah. That's a lot of bull for one family.
Were you always a star detective?
No, I started out as a hotel detective, but my eyes went bad.
I see. Astigmatism?
No. Windy keyhole.
Mr. Featherfield, are you working on any exciting case right now?
I just finished a case this morning.
Was it a good case?
Good. Smell my breath. I'm doing my Christmas schnapsing early.
No, that's not what I meant, Mr. Featherfield. I'm sure a man of your great ability and brilliance has handled some very big jobs.
How about that? There was one case a husband hired me to follow his wife.
Mm-hmm.
She hired someone to follow me. I got one of my men to follow him. She got wise and hired someone to follow the guy who I got to follow the guy who she hired to follow me.
Well, what happened?
We had the biggest conga line in the country.
Mr. Featherfield, you are known for your great bravery and courage. All day long you faced murderers, thieves, cutthroats without showing a sign of fear. How do you do it?
Mr. Burrell, after I look at my wife in the morning, I can face anything.
Thank you, Mr. Featherfield. Now here's our young singing star, Dick Farney, to sing and mean it.
On the Rue de la Paix, there was once a cabaret. As the night went along, there was suddenly a song and Mimi. All the world seemed to say that they loved the cabaret and Mimi. But I knew that when she'd see me, Mimi sang for me aloud. With a passion for dancing with the one that I adore. Taught her dance and her fashion. for me, she's singing au monde. On the Rue de la Paix, there was once a cabaret and Mimi. Now I'm sitting sad and gloomy, just for Mimi and her song. Sitting sad and dreamy, just for Mimi and her song.
Well, when it's you, seven, Mimi, I love that. You know, I remember when I was in vaudeville, y'all kidding aside, I used to sing like a bird, like a bird. The minute I opened my mouth, the audience would let fly. Let fly. That's the last joke I use that I find in my laundry. You know, Mr. Gallup?
Yeah,
no starch to it. You know, Mr. Gallup, I've always been impressed by the courteous, efficient service in department stores. Until that day, I had to exchange something. I went down to the store very early, and I approached a floor walker. And I walked the door. Excuse me, floor walker. I would like...
Welcome to the Mammoth Department Store, dear sir. Here you are the king, and we are your servant. Let me kiss your hand.
Please. You're wetting my glove. Look, I just came in to exchange something.
Exchange?
Yeah.
Oh, a wise guy, huh?
No, look, I sent my wife here to get a Christmas gift for my 90-year-old grandfather. She came home with these snowshoes. Snowshoes? A man 90 years old with snowshoes. He still has the kiddie car. I got him last year. Where is the exchange department?
18th floor. Take the stairway.
Stairway? Can't I take the elevator?
They're not running during this rush. Choppers are just shinnying up the cables.
Walk up 18 floors and me with my low sugar content. Well, here goes. Excuse me.
Exchange desk, if it's broken, you did it.
Please, young lady, I'm tired. I want to exchange these snowshoes.
What's the matter? Don't they fit?
They fit, but you're
not... I'm in good health. Next!
Oh, wait a minute. What goes on? All over the store are signs, your money returned, with a smile.
A smile? Look, Buster, for the dough they're paying me, you're lucky I don't bite you.
Oh, look, I don't want any joke. There's no money involved. I have a charge account.
A charge? You got to go to the credit department. Basement floor.
Back to the basement? Geronimo! What? I have to see the manager? The 18th floor again? Oh, no!
Yes, sir?
I want to exchange these snowshoes. Let me see the credit manager.
He's busy at the moment. He has someone in his office.
Oh! 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 No! Don't! I'll pay! I'll pay!
He's finished.
He is.
You can go in now. This way.
I would like to...
Take off your shirt. Where's my whip?
Whip? Wait a minute. Hold it. Please, my bills are all paid.
You mean you don't owe us anything?
No.
Ah, nuts. Guys like you spoil all the fun.
Please, just okay the exchange for these snowshoes.
Of course. Here you are, sir.
Oh, at last. Now for the sports department.
What? First, you have to go to the credit exchange department.
No. No. Not back down to the basement.
Oh, no. It's on the 18th floor.
Good. The 18th floor.
In our Jackson Heights store.
Yeah. Oh, no.
They'll check your credit, send you out to our warehouse in Staten Island for a clearance. Then, as soon as you get it stamped by our refund charge department in the Bronx, come back here to the sports department and return the snowshoes.
That's all I have to do?
That's all, sir.
I don't have to run down to Miami or anything. No. I don't have to check with President Truman.
No.
Look, wouldn't you just like to whip me instead? All right.
All right, I'll play you a little game. I'll get those snowshoes exchanged. I'll get them exchanged. I have just begun to fight.
Yes, sir.
Look at that. Look at my ear going.
Tell me, is this the sports department?
Yes, sir.
Take the snowshoes.
Snowshoes? Did you have them for over 2 weeks?
I've been on this floor for over 2 weeks. Take the snowshoes.
I'll call the manager.
Yes. Is Mr. Pomegranate on the floor?
Yes.
Well, pick him up and bring him over.
He's a charming fellow.
Take the snowshoes.
Oh, Mr. Pomegranate, we were just talking about you.
Oh, you were, you? You're fired. Now, what can I do for you, sir?
Take the snowshoes.
Here, let me explain, sir. Mr. Pomegranate, this man has snowshoes.
Has snowshoes? What a pity. Everybody should have shoes. Fine condition for the country. People going around barefoot.
No, wait a minute. You don't understand. I have shoes.
And he also has snowshoes.
You say he has shoes?
Yes.
And he has snowshoes?
Yes.
You're drunk. Pick up your check, you're fired.
Wait a minute. Wait a minute. Listen carefully. My wife comes in here and buys snowshoes.
How can she purchase snowshoes?
From the salesman who sells snowshoes.
We have a salesman who sells snowshoes?
He's fired. Now, listen here.
They are fired. Now, what can I do for you, sir?
I'm looking for a job.
I like your look. You're hired. Next.
Hold it, will you? Look, this may be my last words. There's only one way to explain. You see this package I got here?
Yes.
Look inside. What do you see?
Two tennis rackets.
No, that's snowshoes.
I know that's snowshoes. That's tennis rackets.
Wait a minute. Wait,
you're fired.
Pay up your check.
Stop. All right, you win. I give up. It's no use.
Snowshoes? Who said snowshoes?
I said it's no use.
I heard it.
He said snowshoes.
You're fired.
Pick up your check.
What can I do for you, sir?
Snowshoes.
You have no shoes?
He has snowshoes.
You're fired.
I quit.
Pick up your check.
Oh, no, no.
Thank you very, very much, ladies and gentlemen. I'll be back just as soon as I can fight my way out of this fog. In the meantime...
Have you seen the new Philip Morris holiday gift packages? They come in cartons and in four-decker flat 50s, and they're beautiful. Yes, Philip Morris is one gift that's always welcome, always appreciated. For Philip Morris, in its smart and distinctive holiday wrapping, is truly a gift of pleasure. Perfect smoking pleasure. So this year, say Merry Christmas with Philip Morris. And remember, when you give Philip Morris, you give America's finest cigarette.
This is your girlfriend Milton saying good night. See you next Tuesday.
Good night.
Look for me. I'll be waiting for you. Come in and call for Philip Murray.
Yes, if every smoker knew what Philip Morris smokers know, they'd all change to Philip Morris, America's finest cigarette. And now, goodbye, Johnny. See you next Tuesday, same time, same station. And listen in Sunday night when Johnny presents Philip Morris Night with Horace Heidt over this same network. Until then... Hello, hello, testing. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. That's it, 5. Pipe smokers, try Revelation Pipe Tobacco, a smooth blend of 5 tobaccos. Yes, relax, take 5, take Revelation, a fine pipe tobacco. The Milton Berle Show was written by Matt Michael and Aaron Newton. This is Frank Dallas saying goodnight for Philip Morris.
This is NBC, the national broadcasting company.